Good afternoon.
Welcome.
Hope we're all absolutely fantastic.
Also morning and evening.
Yes. Got a good one for you today.
Have we?
Yep. Absolute. Best one so far.
Usual ones aren't so good at all.
No.
But today's...
We've done...
Hitting the nail on the head.
We've done 149 mediocre episodes.
150? Oh.
No, this is the 150th. But 149.
No, that's nice,
mediocre.
Isn't it?
Pretty bang average. Is that
that's
mediocre
a lot.
It's funny because if I reckon I could go back to like 25 times you've said that.
I know, but it is.
Like every time we hit a milestone, you're like, that's a lot, isn't it? Like when we got 10, you're like, oh, that's a lot.
One of our new BBB members said to me that she went back and listened to the first podcast the other day, and I was like, oh dear.
Oh, no, she's not left already, has she? I'd leave if I listened to our first one. Do you know what I need to change? I saw this morning that on Spotify, it shows your trailer episode before anything else.
Oh no.
It's terrible.
I don't even know what that is. That must be a good 2+ years old.
Oh, longer.
Is it?
Yeah. I mean, if there's a way I can do it, like get rid of it now whilst we're recording, I will. But I don't think there is. Maybe that's something that I need to.
No, don't scroll back out of it while we're living there.
Oh, it's not that. I just mean, like, I thought there might be like a quick way to just be like.
No, because people, we've raised attention to it now. People are going to go and listen to it on purpose.
They're not because. It's Friday, we're recording this. This goes out Monday. Between now and then, I'll sort it out.
All right, okay, fair enough then. I didn't. What's the statistics of most people? How many podcast episodes most people do?
I think it's something like 1% of podcasts go past 10 episodes.
Look at us.
150.
Look at us, 150.
I'd like to know what percentage gets 150. I mean, this isn't on yet. Might fall out between now and Monday and not put it on.
Fall out? What, get a divorce? Don't talk about a divorce. You know it's a very sensitive topic for me in a minute.
Well, we can't. To be fair, it's going to be impossible to get a divorce before Monday. And also, I put this on as soon as we've recorded it, so...
And paperwork.
Lots of paperwork.
Phil said he could never divorce me because there was too much paperwork.
Yeah, like we've got...
By the way, we're not actually... It's not a sensitive topic because anyone's getting divorced. I just feel like... Everyone and everything around me is all anyone's talking about is divorce, and I've spent a lot of weeks like.
You're just reading books on divorce.
Just no, it's books, it's TV programs, it's people I know. Like, there just seems to be so much around it that it's making me freak out about divorce.
Go against the grain, Jen. Let's stay together.
Please.
Okay.
I don't want to get divorced. That's it's freaking me out.
It's good to know.
I don't usually freak out about stuff like that, but it is.
No, it's a bit weird.
Yeah.
Anyway,
yes.
Why are we overeat?
That's a good divorced. Question, isn't it, Phil?
It's a great question. Great question. Let's hope we've got an answer.
Our big speciality is helping people to stop overeating, because that is largely where, diet culture creates it, let's be honest. And a lot of the ladies that we work with have done diet after diet after diet after diet, and that has then resulted in these overeating habits. And unfortunately... Only because of, not through any wrongdoing of yourself, but because of how you've been told to approach things in the past. A lot of people try to approach overeating by just saying, I want to or need to stop overeating. And you might be listening to this thinking, yep, do you know what? That is how I've been doing this for years. Various different methods, different diets, but my one goal has always been to stop overeating. And you've just tried that through all different kinds of approaches. And... A lot of the time, trying to tackle it through dieting doesn't... Well, I say a lot of the time, but it just doesn't work. And Phil is going to run through why it doesn't work, because I think it's really important to understand, and again, it's not your fault. It is created by diet culture.
It is, and something to say just before I run through the cycle is I'm going to read out, I've written it down in front of me. I'm not hiding that. I've got podcast notes or else I forget everything. If you're listening to this now and you're like, yeah, that cycle is me, you are our client. Like, you are the person we work with. Like, and the reason I say that is because I know a lot of people often wonder, like, would this work for me? Is this the approach I need to take? Is this the right method? Will it help? This cycle basically dictates the person that gets really good results with us. So step one, there will be some form of trigger where you will either, and this could be a whole host of different things. You might see your body in a mirror, you might put on an item of clothing that, you know, it feels really tight. You might see a body part that you don't like. There'll be something that you just dislike about yourself or your body or something. You go, do you know what? I need to stop overeating to change this. I need something that's going to change the way I look and the way I feel about my body. And that's step one. That is where things start. You then move into the second step of the cycle where you create some form of rule. Now, you might create it, or the diet that you go on might create it for you, but the purpose of the rule will always be to stop you from overeating. So it could be like a calorie target or a sin target. And the goal there is to stop you from overeating because you're not allowed to eat more than that. But it could also be something like, I'm not going to eat after 6 o'clock, or I'm not going to eat chocolate, or I'm not going to eat bread. There'll be some kind of rule that gets set. They never call it a rule. They probably give it a fancy title like a habit or a strategy, but it's never really. It is just literally a rule that you're not allowed to do X, Y, or Z because that is why you are overeating. Step three is that initial change. It works at first. That could be, and it usually is for days. It's very rarely weeks, unless you're doing some kind of like 8 week shred or whatever, which I hate the name of, but it's very rarely weeks. Usually at first you get that initial like, oh my God, this works. I've not gone over my calorie target or my sin target, and I've stopped eating at 6 p.m. or I've cut out this and I'm losing weight, it's working. However, you will always move on to step four, which is when it stops working, when you either A, run out of willpower. So you get to a point where you're like, I can't not eat chocolate again. Like, I need to eat some more chocolate. Or it's 8 o'clock at night and I know I said I wasn't going to eat after six, but I can't not. Or you had this calorie target, but like, it's Wednesday and you're just hungry. You just need more food. Like, at some point, the desire for food will win over the willpower that we have. And that's nothing against you as a human. It would beat me and Jen and everybody else because that's how willpower works. Or the second option is the plan has ended. So like, it was an 8 week plan or a 4 week plan or a week plan or whatever it was. And because it stopped, you've now stopped doing the thing that was stopping you from overeating because there's no need to do it anymore because the plan's finished. That's step four. Step five, which always happens, is you blame yourself. You say you're the reason you couldn't succeed. You point the finger at yourself and say, why can't I lose weight? I can do everything else. I'm a successful person. I'm a great person. Like, I do well at work. I do well in life. I've done X, I've done Y, I've done Z, I've succeeded, I've got promoted, I've done this, I've done that. I'm so successful at everything, but I can't lose weight. I physically cannot do it. This is the one thing that I physically can't do. Once you hit that point, you hit that sod it button. And you go all out. You're like, if I can't do it, what's the point? You start to feel guilty, you start to feel frustrated, and you just go, do you know what? The only way that I can comfort myself here is to just go in the complete opposite direction. And then we overeat, and then we potentially either go back to where we was or gain even more weight, which then always brings us back, because it's a cycle, to step one. You hate yourself, you hate your body, and you want to stop overeating to change it. You create rules, it works for a bit, it stops working, you blame yourself. And you keep going back through this cycle. And you keep pointing the finger at yourself and you never get out of it because you're using dieting as the solution when dieting isn't the solution. Fortunately, Jen's next to me and she's going to tell you what it is.
Oh, yeah, that's my goal. A
lot of responsibility that for you now, isn't Jen? Yeah. So she's got a good answer.
Yeah, because I think the main problem with this is nowhere in this cycle are you ever given the chance to answer the question, why am I overeating in the first place? It's just, just stop that. Like, I actually remember a coach saying to me once, we'll just stop that emotional eating. And I was like, I'm sorry, what?
How did that go for you?
What do you want me to do? Just stop that. Yeah, no, I can't. Sorry. That's not something that's in my repertoire right now. Because
I love it when people say that, like it's a choice. Like, oh, stop emotional eating. Oh, flipping out, why didn't I think of that?
Damn it, I have not thought of that solution yet.
My other favourite one is when people just tell you to like eat less calories, like you just need to get in a deficit. Oh, well, flipping out, where have you been all my life? Oh, I'm so glad. I am so glad I bumped into you and you've just told me to eat less. Why have I didn't realise I was eating too much. I had no idea that that's what was causing me to gain weight. I had not a clue. And you have just changed my life by telling me to eat less. This is absolutely transformative.
Yeah. And do you know what? And Phil touched on something really nice there. Like, the ladies that we work with usually are high achievers. They've done really well in other aspects of their life. They feel like this isn't the thing that they've been able to crack yet. The really, really nice thing is that that type of person does really well at starting to understand why they're overeating in the first place, because they've got a critical mind, or a curious mind, should I say. They like learning things, they like understanding things about themselves, they're very self-reflective, which lends itself beautifully to this process and really gives great results, because being able to understand the answer to why you're overeating is absolutely vital to stopping overeating. And we say a big phrase, getting curious rather than critical, because a lot of us, when we overeat, automatically go to the critical. Shouldn't have done that. I'm the failure. I feel guilty. So it's thinking about how can we get curious rather than critical. And the most simple method, or the most simple way of doing that, is creating some kind of like food diary, food log, food journal as you go throughout the day and week. And all you need to do is start writing down what you're eating, when you're eating it, what times you're eating it, how much you're eating. Maybe start to take note of how hungry you are, how full you are, your emotions that you felt before, during, after. And then the reason is, within, it can literally be as quick as like 3 to 5 days, you can start to see patterns of overeating and start to understand and have answers for yourself. There's so many reasons why we overeat, and like, I couldn't sit here and go through them all on one episode, but once you understand for yourself why, and I think that is a key thing, it is for yourself, it is important you understand why you're specifically overeating, you can then put the right strategy in place, because until that point, you're just going to keep overeating. So gaining that understanding of what is causing you to overeat is the key to then putting that strategy in place. And if you're like, oh my goodness, like you start doing this process and you're like, oh, I do really overeat when I do this, or when I feel like this, or whatever it may be, and you're not sure what the strategy is, just pop me a message and we can have a bit of a chat, because I guarantee you that I've supported someone through that exact situation, because literally every single lady that I work with struggles with overeating in some capacity and has done, like I have done myself. It's really ingrained in what we do and how we support people, so there will be a solution. And it's then about, once you've got that right strategy and solution for you, it is quite literally game changing with your relationship with food, isn't it?
It is. So if you want to get out of that cycle of not liking your body, not liking the way you feel, overeating to try and change it, and then creating rules, works for a bit, doesn't work for a bit, you blame yourself, then you hate yourself again, then you try again. If you want to get out of that cycle, you have two options. Options A is just message Jan, work with Jan. Jan's great. But option B is to start doing that. You could literally start doing that today. You could start logging your food from the second that you've finished. You could even go back and write down what you've eaten today and maybe think about, how did I feel before that? It's really difficult to do it that way. Better to do it as you go, because you can literally say, how do I feel right now? What is the emotion I'm feeling right now? It's obviously easier doing it that way. But you could start doing that right away. And like Jen said, within 3 to 5 days, you'll start seeing some patterns. You'll notice what's going on, why it's happening, and then you can start to do some things differently. And I think this is one of the reasons that a lot of clients, or pretty much every client, in fact, no, all clients, say to us, like, this is different from anything I've ever done. One of the big reasons is because initially, the goal isn't to try and eat less. It's to work out why you're eating more. And that's never happened. You've never had that before. That's not something that anybody's ever helped you with. They've just told you to eat less, whether it's with a target, whether it's calories or sins, or whether it's something you're not allowed to do or something you have to do. You've always been given a rule of how you can eat less. No one's ever sat there and gone, right, do you know what we're going to do as step one? We're going to work out why you're overeating in the first place. And it's so different from anything that you've ever done that it gets you results that you've never got before. So, Jen, do you want to put me on the spot? It is you putting me on the spot, isn't it?
Yeah.
You got three questions.
So
it's not a 1% question, is it?
You will be aware. Oh, I love 1% Club.
We do, don't we? How devastated was we last week when we realised it weren't on?
The first week we'd actually remembered that it was on. It wasn't on because the Brits were on.
Put the channel on and we was like, up next, the Brits. We was like, what?
Although, sorry. Our aerial and our TV doesn't work very well. You can tell we don't watch live TV very much because it doesn't usually bother us. So we went to watch live TV so we could play it along with the app. And we had to go in through ITVX instead and watch it, stream it from there, because we couldn't get it to work. And then we realised we couldn't play along on the app because that was delayed timing, because it's like streaming.
It's a difficult.
And then we realised it wasn't even on. So it's like blow after blow after blow.
Terrible.
But we've been playing on the app lots in between, haven't we?
We have, done nothing else.
It's great, love it. Really love problem solving.
Not seen the twins for 3 days, hope they're all right.
Right, anyway,
Jen, on the spot.
That's not my question. Not about my cat. Oh wow, that's what? My question isn't about that.
Okay.
My question is about something else that we're watching though. Ooh. Married at First Sight Australia.
Love it.
Which I thought, I don't think I can do this again, because the UK Married at First Sight, if anyone watches it, was absolutely atrocious this time around, and I was like, I'm not watching that again. It's just a load of Z-listers that actually, it all just becomes pointless because it's all just drama, 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 and I can't. Yeah. I'm so not into that.
All trying to out-drama each other so yeah. they can be more fair. Not, if there was a letter after Z, they'd be that.
I want people who actually want it to work. That's what I want.
Yeah, I want people, so, people to go in for love.
We started the Married at First Sight Australia thinking, oh, I don't know if we're going to be able to like continue with this. Actually really good, isn't it?
Yeah.
Because there's still a variety of people in there. Mm-hmm. It's not just all like Z-listers. There's people who seem to genuinely want to be in there, apart from some people. Mm-hmm. But
one person comes to mind.
He's got a funny little tash.
Stupid hat as well. Don't like
Smith.
His hat.
Yeah. Anyway.
The question is your least favourite, because that'd be an easy one.
Yeah. No, my question for you is,
don't know anyone's name. This is going to be
no, it's not a name. You don't need a name. Oh. I can't remember anyone's name either yet. Apart from Lucinda, because she's the best on the planet.
I know which one Lucinda is.
So, if you were on maths...
Sure, you'd have something to say about it straight away.
Imagine we haven't met and you're okay. on maths. And you've lived in Sydney, so this will be easy for you as well. Because you're in maths Australia in this scenario.
Great. Am I English?
Where would you take the person on the final date?
Oh,
what
simple.
Would you do?
The fort.
No, you can't. That's cheating.
Why is it cheating?
We'll tell people what the fort is. I don't know if you've talked about this before.
So I used to work at a restaurant called Fort Denison, which was basically a restaurant, but the island was the restaurant. So if you've ever been to Sydney Harbour, you'll have potentially seen it from there. If you've left Sydney Harbour to go to like to Manly, or there's like a zoo that people sometimes stop off at.
Okay.
You'll have stopped off there. And basically, it's so hard to explain because it makes no sense to me and I worked there, but like the whole of the island is the restaurant. So like you can't like walk around the restaurant because you'd be in the water. Like that's how close to the edge of the island the restaurant is. It's a really tiny island, obviously, because it's the size of a normal restaurant. Like it's no bigger than a normal restaurant. If anything, it's smaller. It's a really tiny island. And it was a fort in, I don't know what war. I should know more about this because I worked there. But it then got converted into a restaurant. So it is like a little bit of like a castle-y type structure. Like you can go on the roof and there's a cannon on the roof. Like it is, if you ever go to Sydney, please go there. It's spectacular. And it's such a unspoken about place. Like me and the guy I went traveling with, Greg, we both worked there as waiters. And obviously because we was traveling, we spoke to like hundreds of people like when we was in Australia. Nobody had ever heard of it. Not one person. Nobody went, oh yeah, Fort Denison, I've heard of that. So it's like such a unspoken about place.
It's literally right on the water between the Opera House and the Harbour Bridge, isn't it?
Pretty much, yeah. But nobody ever speaks about it. Nobody knows about it. It's like a hidden gem. But yet, like, it's spectacular. The food is unreal. It's not cheap.
I mean, you did work there many, 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 many years ago, so will it be the same?
I mean, it's definitely not been the same since I left. Let's be honest, it's gone downhill. I actually saw, Greg sent me a video, Arsenal did their like shirt reveal. You know, like when a football team brings out a new kit. They did that just on the... I don't know why either.
That's mad.
It's mad. But it is a very secluded place, so you could do that. Like, so, Thingy had his birthday party there, didn't he, from Strictly Come Dancing.
What?
The guy on the left. Yeah, yeah, he had his birthday
party. The guy
party
on the left.
Yeah. Well, yeah, it's just on the left, isn't it?
True.
He had his birthday there. I'd left like a month ago, so I didn't get to see him.
That's fine.
Not a month ago, I left.
So you'd just take him for a meal at Fort Venison? Denison.
Denison, yeah.
Sorry. I said it and I was like, wait, no, it's Denison.
It should be called
it?
Fort Venison because it's deer.
Hey.
Oh,
would you arrange fireworks as well?
Yeah, I'd probably take him New Year's Eve if it's done for us. I'd just be sat there going, done this for you, all this, that 25 minute display off the bridge. They don't usually do that.
That's funny.
All for you.
So that's what you do? Nothing else, just that?
What do you mean, nothing else?
I don't know, just that.
I charm them with my wit.
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 Who is it? It's me. I'm a mass with you.
Oh, yeah.
We did actually deliberate whether we could, like, pretend that we don't know each other and go on some kind of programme.
Like that, just for a laugh. Have you ever seen it when it happens on first dates? I'm like, oh my god, it's there, I can't believe it's there. It's like, this has got to be a sell. Of all the people they could have put you with, they put you with someone who lives on your street. Come on. Flipping X, Sarah, I can't believe it's you. Bad, bad, it's you. It's like, what is this?
One of the
stupid
ones that got matched on Match this year said they live 10 minutes away from each other, but they've never met.
Rubbish.
Wild.
Rubbish.
Yeah, so that's Mitch's brother. Can't believe
it's
Mitch's brother.
I know, yeah, just sat there watching a minute. Hang on, he's been on it before. I reckon they pay to go on these days, by the way.
Do you think?
I think they do. I reckon.
No.
How many spots are there? Like 20? Is it 10 couples?
I don't know.
I reckon 80% is paid. I reckon 20% is picked.
Do you think?
Yeah.
There's a lot of business owners on there. Big
titles. A lot of people with a lot of money. And I reckon what they do is they say, right, I want to be on here. And I really want, like, I need to be on here is X amount of cash. And they go, right, you can go.
Because they're like Z-listers.
Yeah, and then they pick other people.
To be fair, we don't know what that looks like in Australia. We know what Z-listers look like in the UK.
That's true.
Does it change in different countries, do you think?
I've absolutely no idea. No, I go to Australia and let you know.
I don't imagine the... I don't know. Yeah, can we just discuss Collins?
No. We've not got enough time.
I don't think there's any words to describe him. I don't think he knows any words either.
He's my favourite and least favourite person.
Yeah. Wow.
I've never known anyone speak for so long without telling you anything. Like, honestly, he blows my mind. It's one of them where, like, sometimes, like, 10% of the time I love him. 90% of the time I'm like, you...
None of the time I love him, he really, really...
No, it's just, he just makes me laugh. Like, sometimes he says something, I'm like, this is hilarious. But in general, like, when he did his speech, sorry if there's spoilers, at the end of the dinner party, and I was just like, oh, it's just all fake.
Wow, bye. Yeah, this is the end of... Wow.
Wow, I guess this is the end of my journey as well.
Wow.
Wow. Wow. He sounds like a cartoon.
It's weird.
Anyway, so yeah, there's my answer. What did I say? Fort Denison.
Yeah, I'm sorry, I'm just yawning because I'm really poorly.
Anyway, hopefully that's been a beneficial episode. I thought 150 has been a good one.
You all know where to go if you're going to Sydney now.
And you all know where to go if you want to subscribe because you didn't like the episode.
Phil!
What?
Don't encourage people to not listen to it.
I don't want people here who don't want to be here.
No.
You're only allowed to be here if you want to be here. Them's the rules.
We like you.
You just might not like us. But yeah, hope 150's been a good one. Hopefully it's been better than the other 149.
Yeah.
Have a good one, and we'll see you again next week sometime.
Bye now.